You're listening to His Time. It is 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend James Yonkers from First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama. Good morning, Pastor Yonkers.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us this morning. Looking forward to studying God's Word in 1 Timothy this morning. Share with us about your congregation, First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama.
Well, we're a small LCMS congregation here on the border between Florida and Alabama. We've been here for many years, and we look forward to being here for many years to come. We've recently expanded our church, adding a fellowship hall through the graciousness of the Southern Church Extension Fund, and we have a vibrant ministry helping the needy in our area, which are growing through food and other assistance in hopes of bringing them to the gospel of Christ Jesus through that.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry of First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama. For our listeners not familiar with the location, where would we find Floralla, Alabama?
We're right on the border between Pensacola and Panama City, and just on the Alabama side.
Very good. All right. Well, we are studying 1 Timothy chapter 1 today, verses 1 through 20. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study the text today?
Well, firstly, it's the opening verses of Paul to Timothy, a seminarian, if you would, a young pastor under his tutelage, and he's extolling him and reminding him of what it means to be a pastor and how a pastor goes about his business. But it's good for us, too, to see what to look for in our church leaders and what to look for in our own faith and our own life as well.
Very good. All right. Well, let's take a look. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. So here we have the greeting, usually we find at the beginning of a letter, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Well, anything you have to share about the greeting here, Pastor?
Well, here it shows itself to be a letter as Paul identifies himself, and he also identifies who it's to. It's written to Timothy, but more than that, here he reminds us of his authority, as he says, a servant of Christ Jesus, and also reminds Timothy of who he is, a true child of faith, the child of Christ Jesus through his baptism. So he says a lot in this short little greeting.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. So when I was going to Macedonia, I urged you to remain at Ephesus. There you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. Pastor?
Yeah, right there you see that the differences in the heart, how hard it is to understand the will of God, the word of God, and that even in this early church time, when the Bible is still being written, there's still debate and discussion and misunderstanding about what the word of God is, what the gospel message is, who Jesus was, and that's why we have clear teachers like Paul raising up new leaders like Timothy, and why we continue that process on today at places at our seminaries like St. Louis and Fort Wayne and around the world.
I urge you to remain at Ephesus, to charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. So there were all kinds of, it sounds like all kinds of crazy things being taught. And so Paul's urge to Timothy is, help them teach what's right.
Yeah, stand fast in the faith. Don't alter from the faith. You know, lately we have the archaeologists digging up all these quote-unquote alternative gospels with alternative stories and genealogies of Jesus. But when we have the true word of God, we want to focus on that and come to understand what that says and what that means.
The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So this is not done out of conceit or this is done out of love.
And true love. Remember, God is our Father, and so God is in some way like a parent. And what do we do for our children when they stray? We rebuke them. We show them where they were wrong, and we try to teach them the right ways. So too God does with us through the law. So too does Paul to Timothy and to the other teachers as they learn, as they strive to become good teachers for the church.
Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions.
We still do that today, don't we? We like to expand upon the gospel. You know, there's the warning in the Bible not to take away or add to anything. And we like to take away things we don't like, and we like to add things that we do like. And here is another reminder to the teachers and to the leaders of the church, don't add and don't take away. And that's something that's so easily done even without thinking, because of our own sinful nature and our own sinful hearts.
They have a desire to be teachers of the law, but they really don't understand what they're saying, the things about which they make confident assertions. They don't know what they're teaching, but they have a desire to teach. So what's the response to that? Teach them what to teach.
Teach them what to teach and teach it with love. Look at how we as a church body do that. We have our colleges, we have our seminaries, we have less academic forms of teaching through seminars, through Bible classes, through listening to our sermons. Teach the people what to believe, teach the people what to teach so that they can have a defense for their faith, as the Bible says we ought to.
Anything else up through verse 7, Pastor?
I think that's pretty good, although, you know, I see many people making confident assertions on many things, and you ask them why, and rather than knowing scripture for it, they'll just go, well, I feel or I think, and that's so common in our culture today. But here we learn, we make our assertions on faith? We make them based on the scripture, based on the teachings that we have learned from Christ Jesus our Lord and from his word.
Yes, so I'm glad you pointed that out. Much of what we hear, especially in evangelical America, is, I think, but it's not necessarily rooted in God's word. We look inside ourselves for these answers, and that's not where the truth is. The truth is found in God's word. Now, hopefully we have God's word in us as we study it and retain it, but if we want the truth, we go to God's word, right?
Yes.
Verse 8, now we know that the law is good. If one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Pastor?
The law of God is good. The law was given as a way to set the Israelites apart, as a way to teach us the will of God, as a way to teach us what is pleasing in the sight of God. And if we use it lawfully, how are we to use the law? We're not to use the law to earn our salvation, to gain our salvation, but we're supposed to use the law to see our sin, to see our need for a Savior, to see how much in debt we are to God, and how much of that he wiped away through Christ Jesus our Lord and his death upon the cross.
Mm-hmm. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. So the law is not for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient. And then we have this whole list of sins.
Mm-hmm. And we have that song. We have the Sanctus Est Peccator. Sorry, my Latin's terrible, but we have the idea that we are both saint and sinner inside mm-hmm. of us. We are under the law in that we are sinners, and we can see our sin as we look at these. But we know that we are just by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Christ. We are made just. And so when we look at these and we see our failings, and even if we look at these and say, I haven't done that, we know that we cannot be like the Pharisee in the temple going, "Dear Lord, thank you for not making me like that man. Thank you for not letting me do this sin," because we can look and we see our own sin in here, even if it's at the tail end, and other things that we do wrong.
Hmm. And then we have this long list of sins, the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for the murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Any comments on this this rather long list?
You know, we love to get out these lists of sins because we can look at them and, you know, most of us can probably check most of them off of, I'm not that one. But we need to look and go, and as a reminder of, yes, I am a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I need this gospel. And then the very weight that Paul puts on to Timothy and onto himself with that he's been entrusted with the teaching. And that's where I think as a pastoral epistle, where my mind goes, that the teachers have been entrusted to teach against all this, which seems so normal in our world. And what a weight and what a burden that is for Paul, for Timothy, and for our pastors and our leaders and teachers today.
Anything else up through verse 11, Pastor?
Verse 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, through the end of that paragraph.
Well, I think in today's context, I do think that in this list of explicit sins that Paul writes, and this is the Pauline epistle and everyone loves to quote Paul, we see the need to be sexually pure, and among that sexually pure, we do have the teaching that homosexuality is a sin, and that's something I think we need to point out in today's world as it becomes more and more a norm in our society to say, it might be a norm in our society, but that doesn't make it good. That doesn't make it right. And if anyone here does hear that and does have that sin, know that there is forgiveness in Christ Jesus. There is hope, there is help, and there is love in Christ Jesus for you as well.
Amen. Amen. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Yonkers from First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama. If you have a question or a comment, we'd be glad to take an email today, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll take a look at the last section here, verses 12 through 20. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Yonkers from First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. Pastor, anything else before we go on to verse 12?
No, I think we've done very well so far.
All right, very good. Let's jump into verse 12 and following. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service.
And there you see, you know, we read in Acts where Paul received the call. You know, he's walking down the road. He's blinded. He's taken to a house of a Christian where he is healed, where scales fall out of his eyes, and he receives new sight, and he begins his new life because he's always tried to follow God's will, but without the special revelation of the Holy Spirit, what was he doing? He was following the old ways of the law. He was trying to live under the law, and it led him to even persecute and to kill Christians. And yet, from that, God called him. God led him to become this great teacher of the church that we know him as today, a pastor in the church, and not only a pastor, but one who raises up other pastors like Timothy and others. And so now this is Paul, one as a confession, but also as a thanksgiving unto the Lord that he would be so grateful and so forgiving, that Paul's so grateful and that God would be so forgiving and leading him into such an office, even chief of sinners though I be.
He says, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I was a sinner. I was an opponent of the church, an insolent opponent.
And he was, you know, he didn't mean to be. Like you said, out of ignorance, you know, Christianity was something new at that time. But, you know, we can see it in today's world, too. People who don't know the true gospel, who have been taught wrongly, and so they follow that. But then they hear the truth, and they see the light figuratively, and then they come to know their faith, and they come to know God in an even better way, or in a first way, and we see their faith burn like a fire, and it's inside them, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And here Paul's praising God that he has that, and he's trying to give that also to Timothy and to show Timothy the church is full of sinners, but God's forgiven us all, and that's what it's all about.
The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Chief of sin. That's where we get that hymn, isn't it? Chief of sinners, though I be.
It's definitely one place I'd look to for that. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a confession of Paul to Timothy, a student, that I am a sinner, and Christ came to save sinners. He didn't come to save the holy. Of course, none of us are holy, but he came to save sinners, and so we must declare ourselves sinners. Think of how our services start. They start by confessing and receiving absolution, which comes from Christ, because that's the start of his gifts, is to receive his forgiveness, which is ours through Christ Jesus, as Paul teaches here.
But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life.
And what's the example here? It's not Paul's life. Paul's not pointing to, look at me, I'm a great example, but he's looking and going, if Jesus can forgive me, one who went persecuting the church, one who went executing his followers and believers, if God's grace can be extended to me, then it can be extended to anyone and everyone. And that's what I think we need to look at, is the amount of God's grace shown even to someone we call St. Paul, a great leader of the church. And he teaches this to the next generation as we teach it and raise up our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, teaching them the immense, limitless mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father and of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
And here we close with almost a benediction type statement, but also one which praises God, who honors God, and it's a reminder of the only one. You know, in today's world, we don't like to be exclusive. You know, Jesus is one way, is accepted in our society, but Jesus is the way, is not accepted. But that is the truth. Jesus is the only way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, the light." And here Paul is teaching that through that closing statement, as he also calls upon the glory of God, giving him the honor and glory and power that he deserves, acknowledging that, for as Christians, we need to honor our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit as we live, and that will lead us, our faith leads us into that life everlasting, which will last forever and ever. Amen.
Amen and amen. You're right. This is like a benediction here. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Anything else through verse 17 before we take a look at the last couple of verses here?
All right. I think through 17, I think we've done a really good job covering it. There's a lot in this brief letter, and this is the opening, and he goes into a lot more detail later, but this is almost an outline for what he's going to be covering and teaching Timothy here in this letter, this very personal pastoral epistle letter.
All right, let's take a look. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Wow. All right, so this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you. So there were prophecies about Timothy?
I don't think they're about Timothy specifically, but teachers of the faith throughout all time and in all places. You know, God has always supplied prophets and teachers to his church, and he's promised to do that always. And I think that promise of always supplying teachers and leaders in the church, of which Timothy is becoming one, I think that's the prophecy that Paul speaks of.
And so this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. And that includes Hymenaeus and Alexander. We'll talk about what he's done with them. So some have abandoned this good teaching.
Mm-hmm. And we see that in today's world. How many of our friends have left the faith for one reason or another? And why is that? Why does this surprise us? We know it's been going on. God says it will go on because it's not in our nature. It's against our nature. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have that faith, and we fight it each and every day. That's why we pray daily that Adam inside us would be drowned and die. And here, Paul lists a couple people that he was acquainted with at one time or another, but had to let go, for they refused to follow the faith, refused to accept the gospel, and instead wanted to put on their own message, their own understanding, which was against Scripture.
And among them, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He handed some over to Satan. What does this mean? That they might they may learn not to blaspheme.
Well, we have in our, I'm trying to find a good way to phrase this. It sounds good to everyone who might be listening. But Jesus teaches the 40, when he sends out the 40 in the gospel, what does he tell them to do when they're not accepted? He tells them, shake the dust off your feet as you leave. And I think that's what St. Paul is doing here. He's shaking the dust off his feet of these two that he mentions. Going, they were not meant to be leaders in the church. They showed themselves to be unfaithful in their teachings, in their leadership, in their guidance of other Christians. And so it's tragic. And we still pray for their souls. We still want them to believe and come to an understanding. We pray that each and every day for those who don't know Christ, or have misunderstandings, misteachings, misbeliefs about Christ. We still pray for them daily. We want them to see the light. That's why we have discussions with non-Lutherans. We have discussions with non-Christians so that we can bring the light and the truth to all people. And that's something that Paul is mentioning here in his letter.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, is there anything you'd like for us to learn from this text as a whole, this letter to Timothy, just the looking at the first 20 verses?
Well, you know, you can see what is in verse at the end of verse 17 that we covered. It's an amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very prayerful. It's very devotional as we look through this. And that's because in our life, as we seek to be, a good follower of Christ, a good leader in his church, whether it's in an official or an unofficial capacity, it leads us into a good life, a deep life of prayer, teaching us that not in word, but in just how it's arranged and how it's phrased. And we see that in the closing amen in verse 17 there, that the importance of prayer in the life, for it's only by prayer that we can avoid the false teachings and the sins that Paul talks about here.
Well, thanks be to God for the opportunity to come to him in prayer. Thanks be to God for his word that teaches us to pray. Well, we've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Yonkers from First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama. Pastor Yonkers, thanks for being our guest pastor and helping us study this text in 1 Timothy chapter 1 today.
Well, thank you for having me. God's blessings, everyone.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints at First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama. Coming up in just a little bit, Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.